Hey, baby. Who am I?
This.
Say, Mama.
Daddy.
Alexa, play the Ting Tings.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel any time.
Monday, December 18th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. That is Denver, Colorado. Happy Monday to you. It is another Monday, people. Oh, I know. It's another Monday. You're not nearly as enthused as I might sound about it, but I hope you enjoyed your weekend. I hope you got some time away from your job, a little bit of time away from work. I hope you got to relax a little. I hope, more importantly, that you got to watch some sports. It was a jam-packed weekend. A lot of things to watch this past weekend. You know, as tough as it is that it is Monday, and I feel your pain. Like, getting up this morning, not the easiest thing to do. Got a full week ahead of us. It's going to be a challenging week. I'll let you all know that right now. We know that, right? Going into this, just remember this, though. This is the last full work week before we get to two national holidays, at least here in the States. So next Monday, of course, is Christmas. The next Monday is New Year's Day. So this is the final working Monday of 2017. Yeah, see, that's not so bad. Helps the pain a little bit this morning, doesn't it? Hey, if you would like to contact us here at The Dose and tell us what we should be doing, maybe you have a suggestion, maybe you have a comment, maybe you just have some feedback for the show, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or head over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us over there. We'll tweet things here and there. We'll also put up links to the podcast there. But both of those handles at Facebook or Twitter are at Daily Dose Sports. You can find us there. We'd love to interact with you. Hey, we have a lot to get to today. It might be Monday, and you might not feel like working today. But we have a big, big sports weekend. You know, it was a big weekend in the NFL. We have some good news, and we have some bad news for a number of teams around the league. You know, we kind of thought it might be coming. The sexual misconduct epidemic that is running rampant in our country is hitting the NFL. And I won't be surprised if it gets a little bit worse. We did have some college football bowl games over the weekend. And you know, they kind of showed us how a lot of these bowl games can be a little bit silly. And an NBA legend is having his jersey retired tonight. And I'll be the first to say, I'm a little confused by it. Maybe it's just me. I'm a little confused by all of it. We are going to get to all of this right after this. So we did see a few college bowl games take place over the weekend. Not great. Some very average teams playing mostly below average football this weekend. Boise State beat Oregon in a game of didn't you used to be's. Troy State, are they still Troy State? Are they just Troy? They dropped the state? I don't know. Troy hung 50 on North Texas. I took a nap on the couch. I woke up. Another bowl game was on. You know, the best bowl game of the weekend that I saw was probably Marshall beating Colorado State 31-28 in the New Mexico Bowl on Saturday evening. Now, both teams were 7-5 going into this game. Marshall plays in Conference USA. Colorado State plays in the Mountain West. Now, for years, this has been going back for years, we have been told that college football didn't want to have any sort of a playoff because they didn't want to take away from the bowl games. The college football bowl games have been a staple of college football. And if you take that away, you're losing an important and a historic aspect of college football. We don't want to mess with the sanctity of college football bowl games. That's what we were told, right? That's what they've been saying for years. We can't have a playoff. We got to keep the bowl games. They matter. They're important. It's good for kids to get these bowl games, to get that reward at the end of the year. It's good for these schools to make it to a bowl game. We've got to be sure that we preserve the sanctity of the college football bowl games. Yeah, we got to make sure we do that. I mean, Marshall went 7-5 this year, losing to North Carolina State. Not bad. Florida International. Florida Atlantic, okay, Texas San Antonio, and SMU. Really? They made it to a bowl game? Colorado State went 7-5. They had losses to Colorado. Not very good this year. Alabama, that's not bad. Air Force, Wyoming, and then Boise State. Then these two squared off on Saturday in front of a whopping 26,000 fans in Albuquerque. This is the sanctity we don't want to lose? Two just barely above average teams playing each other in a game that means nothing in front of no one? I'm not sure I follow your logic there. And this actually ended up being a close game. Notice I didn't say a good game, but it was a close game. I'm not sure it was great football by any means. But it ended up being tied at the end, and Marshall racked up 500 yards of offense and came through at the end and got the win. I'm glad the first weekend of bowl games is out of the way now. Wasn't great. We have a few sneaky bowl games coming this week that could be good. We'll cover those throughout the week. And then the big ones are going to get going. And I'm looking forward to some of those big ones. But I'm telling you right now, when I hear this nonsense about the sanctity of the bowl games, really? This is the stuff we needed to preserve? It's not that great. Maybe just the big ones. Everybody getting a ribbon and everyone getting a bowl game kind of just loses its importance. Like if Marshall and Colorado State get a bowl game, who doesn't get a bowl game? Not great for me. Week 15 of the NFL is mostly in the books, aside from the Monday night game tonight. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we do have some good news and some bad news for a number of teams across the league. There are now just 2 weeks left in the regular season. You know, the NFL playoffs are coming quickly, and a number of teams are still in the hunt. But as is normally the case, things are not always just black and white. They're not just cut and dried in the NFL or in sports in general. Teams that won this past week had some good things. They also had some bad things take place. So did some losing teams. Some good things and some bad things. So here are a few teams that saw a little bit of both. First up, hey, we got to talk about the big one, right? The New England Patriots. Good news for the New England Patriots. The Patriots proved once again that they have the Pittsburgh Steelers number, beating them in Pittsburgh 27-24 in a wild game on Sunday afternoon. I know there hasn't been a whole lot of must-see TV this year in the NFL. That was must-see TV, and I was thoroughly entertained. Now, late in the game, the Steelers had the ball inside the New England 20-yard line, and Ben Roethlisberger threw what looked like a game-winning touchdown with just seconds remaining. But Steelers tight end Jesse James was ruled to have lost control of the football as he reached across into the end zone. And we all know that no one knows what a catch in the NFL is anymore. I watched replay after replay on Sunday of a number of different games and a number of different catches. I have no idea. I can't figure it out. One, I'll look at and I'll say, okay, they're clearly going to say this was incomplete. Rule to catch. This is after replay. This isn't spur of the moment. This is after replay. I watch another one. Okay, that's clearly a catch. After review, incomplete. I don't even know anymore. Just go out and flip a coin. You could literally go out and just flip a coin right now. I have no idea. Anyways, on the very next play, Ben Roethlisberger faked the spike like he was going to clock the ball. And then he threw the ball into the end zone where, of course, this happened to him. Here's a clip from CBS.
Here he goes. Third down play. Spike still has it. Now fires, and it's intercepted. It's intercepted to save the game by Harmon, and the Patriots are going to win it. Absolutely amazing.
Hey, the good news for the Patriots, they are now firmly in the driver's seat in the AFC, and barring some weird collapse, the road to the Super Bowl is going through New England again. As long as Rob Gronkowski is healthy, the Patriots are without question the team to beat in the AFC. But I do have some bad news for the Patriots, because that Patriots defense did look vulnerable again, which isn't a huge surprise considering they were playing the Steelers, right? But remember that wide receiver Antonio Brown was out for most of this game with a calf injury. Now it sounds like that could be a pretty serious injury. Could keep him out for a while, if not the rest of the year. Can anyone in the AFC beat the Patriots in the postseason? I don't know. I'm not sure. Doesn't really look like it to me, especially if Antonio Brown is out. But I will say this, the Patriots are beatable. You saw their defense on Sunday struggle. They didn't get pressure on Ben a lot. receivers running open. The Steelers put up some big yards, and they were able to score on that Patriots defense. Tom Brady took a few more hits, and the Patriots are dangerously thin at a few areas. It's not all good news for New England. Move on to the next team. Let's go to my hometown team, the Denver Broncos. Good news, we talked about them a little bit on Friday. The Denver Broncos have won back-to-back games. They beat the New York Jets, and then they beat the Indianapolis Colts by a combined score of 48-13. For a team that had just quit a few weeks ago, pretty good. Hey, at least they're showing some fight, right? After losing 8 games in a row, Denver is now 5-9. They just have games against Washington and Kansas City left on the schedule. Here's the bad news for the Broncos. They're killing themselves in the draft right now. The Broncos were just looking at a top 5 pick this spring with only 3 wins. Now they've won 5 games, and if the current standings hold up, they'll be drafting number 9. And what if they actually win another game? They could be out of the top 10 completely. Wait, it might get worse for Denver. Because with Trevor Siemian now out of the lineup, we are going to see Brock Osweiler and or Paxton Lynch in the lineup. Here's what I don't need. I don't need for them to make anyone in the organization start thinking they're the answer or any kind of a viable option for this team going forward. We've already seen neither one of them is. Time to move on. Go find a quarterback. Let's not change that narrative based on these meaningless games now, because we saw what these guys did when the season was in the balance. Doesn't change now. Let's move on to the Los Angeles Rams. Good news. The Los Angeles Rams absolutely laid a beating on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday, knocking them out 42-7, dominating them in every aspect of the game. So what's the bad news for the Rams? Well, now we're going to have to watch LA sports fans like scrambling to pretend that they've cared at all about this team for years. You know they're going to be saying, I've been a fan of the Rams since the 60s.
You're living in the past, man. You hung up on some clown from the 60s, man.
Have you? Have you really? Because we've been watching the Rams games on TV and there's nobody there. Opposing teams' fans, that's about it. Guess that's the only bad news. We're going to have a lot of people climbing on that bandwagon now. Move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They had some really good news on Sunday. The Jacksonville Jaguars clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 10 years. Do you realize that the Jags are now 10-4 and have assured themselves of a playoff spot? They had a 45-7 beatdown of the Houston Texans yesterday. Blake Bortles threw for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and that Jags defense is tough. Here's some bad news for the Jaguars. Hey, it's been a very, very good ride for those Jaguars this year, but they will actually have to play some talent in the playoffs. Because do you realize that Jacksonville's schedule ranks 29th right now in the NFL? And while their 10-4 record is impressive, you don't know what's going to happen in a single elimination tournament like the NFL playoffs. The Jaguars have beaten exactly one team that would currently be in the NFL postseason. It's going to get a lot tougher. I'm not trying to rain completely on their parade. Hey, it's been impressive. But it might be a little tougher than what you're used to. You haven't played anybody this year. The San Francisco 49ers, good news for them. Hey, with Jimmy Garoppolo now in the lineup, the Niners are suddenly a really scrappy team. Yesterday, they knocked off the Tennessee Titans 25-23 to win their third game in a row. Sure, they've only beaten the Bears, the Texans, and the Titans, but this was a team that had lost 9 games in a row to start the season. That's pretty good news. They're winning some games now. But here's the bad news. The Niners still have a number of holes to fill on this roster, and it's kind of like the same thing with Denver. Winning is killing their draft status right now. San Francisco has gone from probably the second pick in the draft to now probably being out of the top 5, and they're not done yet. You still have a lot of spots to fill. They should be sitting Garoppolo down, playing anyone else, because you don't want to win these meaningless games right now. It's just killing your status for later in the season. All right, let's move on to the Green Bay Packers. What possible good news do they have? Well, after losing their all-pro quarterback Aaron Rodgers to the fractured collarbone in week 6, somehow, after having surgery, Aaron Rodgers returned on Sunday. And in his return, he went 26-45, but he threw 3 touchdowns. You know, the Packers went 3-5 without Rodgers in the lineup. Having Rodgers is definitely an improvement. That's good news. The bad news for Green Bay is we saw on Sunday, it's not enough. The Packers' offensive line is not very good. Rodgers was sacked 3 times. He was hit 7 times. And that pressure did force him to also throw 3 interceptions. Wide receivers are not great for Green Bay. Devontae Adams was knocked out of the game. Jordy Nelson, it doesn't seem like he's the same player he was. He's having a hard time creating separation from the defender. And that Green Bay defense allowed nearly 400 yards to Carolina. So here's the question. Now the Packers sit at 7-7. What do they do? Do they continue to start Aaron Rodgers next week against Minnesota, the team that hurt him to begin with? That's a tough defense. Do you really want to play him in a meaningless game and risk yet another injury? I don't know what you do. Or do you just say, hey, we're pulling the plug on the season. We're not doing this. We're not risking this. Either way, not very good news for the Packers on Sunday. Moving on to the Buffalo Bills. Good news for the Buffalo Bills. They beat the Miami Dolphins on Sunday, which is their second win in a row because they beat the Colts, you'll remember last week in that big snowstorm. Bizarrely, the Bills are back in the playoff picture. If the playoffs started today, they would be in as the final seed of the AFC. Could we possibly be seeing the Buffalo Bills break that 18-year postseason drought this year? It's possible. But here's the bad news. The playoffs don't start today. Buffalo still has 2 remaining games, and here are their next 2 games. They are at New England, and they are at Miami. And they probably need to win at least one of those games because Baltimore, the Chargers are right there. Tennessee's going to be in that mix. The remaining schedule for Baltimore is 2 home games. They've got the Colts and the Bengals. You would imagine Baltimore can win their way in. The Chargers still have the Jets and the Raiders, so the Bills probably need to win at least one of these games. If they win them both, I think they're in. Can they beat the Patriots and the Dolphins, though? On the road? Not so sure about that. Good news and bad news for the Bills for sure. Hey, the team that was just the best team in the league, the Philadelphia Eagles, they had some good news on Sunday. With Carson Wentz now gone for the season, backup quarterback Nick Foles played pretty well as the starter. Against the Giants on Sunday, Nick Foles went 24 for 38, 237 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Foles is clearly not the quarterback that Wentz looks like he could be. But Foles is solid. You know, in his career, he's completed over 60% of his passes. He has a 7 yards per pass average. That's pretty solid. Here's the bad news for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, they did win their first full game without Carson Wentz. But it was a hard-fought win, and it was against the Giants. Now, the Eagles are another team that haven't played the toughest schedule this year. Yes, of course, Nick Foles can beat the Giants. Can he do it against the big dogs of the league? Could he do that against the Minnesota or Carolina? Or, I don't know. We're going to find out. Speaking of Minnesota, they had some good news on Sunday as they destroyed the Cincinnati Bengals 34-7. They are on top of the NFC. And you know, Minnesota looks like they're firing on all cylinders. Quarterback Case Keenum, almost perfect on Sunday. He went 20 of 23 and had 2 touchdowns. I mean, the ball barely hit the ground for Case Keenum. Minnesota also rushed for 124 yards. They held Cincinnati to just 8 first downs. Only 160 total yards. Minnesota is going to be a very tough out in the playoffs. Any bad news for the Vikings? Not really. Except for the first time in 16 months, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater returned. He actually took the field for the first time after that horrific leg injury. You know, he received a standing ovation. Really, really cool moment for a guy that has had to rehab and work so hard just to be able to get back on the playing field. Kind of cool to see Teddy Bridgewater. The bad news, on his only drive of the day, he ended up throwing an interception, but not a whole lot negative for the Vikings on Sunday. Moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers. The good news for the Chargers, you know, the Chargers lost that tough game to Kansas City on Saturday night, but they are still somehow in the playoff race. And that's pretty good. Considering this team, remember, they started 0-4. Now at 7-7, they need to win their remaining 2 games. And then they need to hope that a few teams ahead of them stumble. But they aren't out of it yet, and that is good news for the Chargers. Here's the bad news for the Chargers. Yeah, they probably are out of it. And what could have been more fitting than to lose the way they did on Saturday night with Phillip Rivers throwing not one, not two, but 3 interceptions.
Not 2, not 3, not 4.
It's like the most Charger thing ever. The only thing more Chargers would have been if they would have driven for the go-ahead score only to miss the extra point or something. Another season, and it looks like another disappointment for Chargers fans, if they still exist, I don't know. Okay, our final team on our good news, bad news, the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm actually going to change this up just a little bit. I'm going to go with the bad news first. The Seahawks got taken to the woodshed on Sunday, we talked about, by the Los Angeles Rams. They lost 42-7. We knew their offensive line was bad. It's still bad. Russell Wilson is doing an amazing job of somehow carrying this team and making them competitive. On Sunday, they weren't even competitive. And now the defense is getting pushed around up front. On Sunday, the Los Angeles Rams racked up 352 yards of offense, and they held Seattle to just 149 yards. And the worst thing about it, the Rams ran the ball right down Seattle's throat, 244 yards on the ground. Seattle couldn't do a thing about it. This game was absolutely over at halftime. And now for the good news for Seattle. Yeah, there is no good news. Hey, coming back, an NBA superstar is having his jersey retired. I'm not so sure about how it's being done. We have a really crappy Monday Night Football game, and the sexual misconduct epidemic rears its ugly head in the NFL. Shocking, right? Yeah, not really. Hey, just a quick reminder, make sure that you do any of that holiday shopping you need to do over at lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is called Explore, and it ends tomorrow. So if you want it, you better hurry. It features items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny. But if you head over to lootcrate.com, they have so much more. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, just enter Daily Dose, D-A-L-Y-D-O-S-E, in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Okay, so on Sunday, Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson, amid allegations of workplace misconduct, announced in a letter on the team website that he is planning to put the NFL team he founded up for sale after the season. The letter came after a story was published saying that the Panthers owner settled with at least four former employees regarding inappropriate workplace behavior by Richardson. In his statement, he said, "I believe it is time to turn the franchise over to new ownership. Therefore, I will be putting the team up for sale." The article detailed accusations that included sexual harassment against multiple women. Richardson is 81, and allegedly he made some comments about women's appearances. He inappropriately touched female employees, and he made advances to women that included asking whether or not he could shave their legs or give them foot rubs. Yeah, that's disgusting. You know, this all comes on the heels of the NFL Network suspending Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk and two other former National Football League players that were analysts after they were alleged to have sexually harassed a female colleague. Faulk, Ike Taylor, Heath Evans, Donovan McNabb, Warren Sapp, Eric Davis, they were all named in a lawsuit by a former wardrobe stylist. I mean, at this point at the NFL Network, poor Kurt Warner is the only guy that's still allowed to even show up for work. But here's the thing. Is any of this stuff in the NFL especially surprising? Most of these athletes have been superstars since they were like in grade school. Girls chasing them. They were excellent athletes. Then they got money. They aren't used to women telling them no. In fact, they were probably even told, "Hey, come work at the NFL Network. We'll get you a hot secretary. We'll get you this woman to be, you know, your stylist." Of course, they're attractive women. They bring them in. They're not used to being told no. Now we have owners being named. Not good. And hey, I have news for you. This stuff is far from over. Now, I'm not saying everyone named is guilty. And I do think that there is kind of a spectrum of some of the things that are being called out. I do think there is a big difference in some of the things that are being said. There's a difference between saying something inappropriate and doing something inappropriate. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that is a big difference between the two things. I'm certainly not excusing their behavior if they did it. But think of the people in the NFL. You have owners with lots of money. You have players that have probably not been told no in years. Are you shocked this happened? Because I'm not. And I won't be surprised when more of these allegations come, because I would bet we are nowhere near done. We're seeing them more and more in society. And we're going to probably start seeing them more and more in the NFL. Just a matter of time. Hey, we do have a Monday Night Football game tonight. And as many times is the case, this was a game that looked like it might have playoff implications prior to the season. Now, not so much. We have the 8-5 Atlanta Falcons. They're heading to Tampa to face the disappointing 4-9 Buccaneers. You know, back when the Bucs were on Hard Knocks and they had gotten some new weapons for Jameis Winston, the defense was looking solid. We thought this might be a decent Monday night football game. It might be worth watching. Now it kind of seems like Jameis is a bit of an idiot anytime he's under pressure. They can't run the ball. And believe it or not, the offense is actually the good news. The defense is actually worse. Tampa ranks 22nd in points per game allowed and 31st in yards allowed. So they actually bend and they break. Meanwhile, the Falcons, they're trying to stay in the playoff hunt. They're currently the final seed in the NFC. They can't afford to lose to a team as crappy as Tampa. I expect Tampa probably battle for two quarters because it's a primetime game at home, but then that'll be it. Atlanta should roll in this game tonight. I guess you could watch a couple minutes of it, but it's probably not going to be worth your time. But if you don't feel like watching the Monday night football game tonight, you could always flip over to the NBA and watch the Golden State Warriors at Los Angeles Lakers game, during which the Lakers franchise is going to retire Kobe Bryant's jerseys during halftime. Wait, jerseys? I'll come back to that. Hey, Kobe played for 20 seasons. He was an 18-time All-Star, a 5-time NBA champ, 2-time scoring champ. He was the 2007-2008 NBA MVP. For his career, Kobe Bryant scored over 33,000 points. He's an amazing player and a cold-blooded killer on the court. Here is where my confusion lies. I said jerseys earlier. The Lakers are going to retire two jerseys for Kobe. They're going to retire both his number 8 and his number 24. Now, Kobe wore 8 from 1996 to 2006, and then he switched it to 24 for the remainder of his career. I'm not going to say why he switched it. I have my suspicions of why he switched it. I have my suspicions. Maybe he told his wife or whatever, I switched this because I'm a different person. I'm not going to go into that. I'm not going to talk about maybe some things that possibly might have maybe happened in Colorado. I'm not even going to bring that up. I'm not even going to say that. Here's the problem with raising the two numbers. I have told you before, I am basically against retiring numbers. I'm fine if you raise the jersey up there. Just don't stop using that number. It's dumb. As of right now, the Lakers will have 11 numbers retired. Starting to run out of numbers. Like, numbers are starting to get less and less. You're going to retire two just for Kobe? I don't even know if he's the greatest Laker in history. How does he get two? Now, that doesn't sound too bad when you say, okay, the Lakers have 11 numbers retired. There's 89 other numbers for people to choose from, right? But the thing that you're probably forgetting, with all of the Ball family eventually getting their uniforms retired, that number's going to be jumping up dramatically. And we just have to hope that they don't decide to wear a few different numbers, or the Lakers are going to be handing out letters pretty soon. Hey, we have a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. Tomorrow on the Tuesday edition, we will be looking at the latest sports and recapping that Monday Night Football. Plus, we have a bowl game preview. It might not be too bad of a game. And I do want to talk a little bit of college hoops tomorrow. And you know, it is the holiday season. Christmas is coming quickly. We might have to bring you our Daily Dose Christmas wish list tomorrow. So make sure that you tune in. Hey, if you haven't joined our Daily Dose group on ESPN.com to pick the college football bowl games, you can still join. You're only a couple games behind. It's free. Just go to the Capital One Bowl Mania link on the main page and then click on Find Groups. Search Daily Dose. Come join our group. Remember, bragging rights are on the line for the Daily Dose. We would love to see you come in and make some great picks against all of us. Thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. Hopefully, it brightened your Monday a little bit. And for all of those who share the show, we really, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday, everybody.
Say mama.
Daddy.
Alexa, play the Ting Tings.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel anytime.